CliffCentral.com.
All right, it's time for us to have a conversation with Mike Sharman. He's just put out a book called The Best Dick, and it's a sort of off-the-wall business book, but I think it'll also help many people to emancipate themselves from what he calls the hamster wheel of normal working. And that's, unfortunately for many people, that's what they're stuck with. But Mike, it is nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Gareth.
It's nice to see you. What's been happening, dude? I haven't spoken to you since the book came out, because it only came out a short while ago. It's doing very well. I see you doing book launches around the country. People like it?
Unfortunately, yes. And I think we had the greatest. I think there's like almost have like a connection to the viral gods.
Did you see
Empty Challenge?
Did you see
Empty Challenge?
Hang on. Did you say unfortunately?
No, I said
yes?
Fortunately.
Oh, okay.
Fortunately, yes.
Okay, good.
Did you see on the day of launch, there was a rapper called Empty?
Yes.
And
he showed everyone his dick.
He filmed himself live.
Yes, that's right.
And then that night we actually had the book launch.
Oh,
and
very nice.
The best dick started trending. Trended at number 3.
Very good.
And then people started jumping on it. And then suddenly, all of a sudden, it kind of filtered into the Twitter sphere. And people were like, is this a stunt? Was MT filming his penis for the launch of this book? So it actually created like a great cross-cultural share on the Twitter sphere.
Very good. So in other words, it went sky high. And this is what you're the king of, is making things go viral.
Yeah, and it's quite interesting because looking at this whole situation at Zim, with Uncle Bob in particular.
Yes.
So many people are starting to share this content from Nando's from 2011 that we actually worked on, and we seeded that campaign, The
yes,
Last Dictator Standing.
That's right.
And then that day, there was a whole bunch of strategy that was behind getting this content out there, getting influencers talking about the Last Dictator content. And the same day, Uncle Bob made homophobic slurs in the UK,
right,
about
yes,
David Cameron and how, you know, gays shouldn't have rights. And that also led to that content going into the UK and then obviously spreading from there.
That's terrific. So you really are the king at this stuff, and you found a way for what you love to do to become your business, which is, I think, what a lot of people struggle with their whole lives long. They go to work, and then when they're not at work, they're having a life. They have fun.
Yeah, and I think you're in a similar position. I mean, you tell stories, and that's effectively what I do too. I mean, we tell professional stories for brands on a daily basis, whether it be in video or social media or through all the various channels. Mm-hmm. And to entertain audiences and consumers, I mean, you speak about it all the time. There's so much clutter out there. There's so much noise.
Yep.
And how do you break through all that bullshit?
Absolutely.
In order to make people pay attention to what it is and the stuff that you're trying to say.
Well, it's a good book. I helped write the foreword, I think.
Yeah, and you also taught me how to spell forward.
He sent me a...
Can you type up the F-O-R-W-A-R-D?
Well, that's what he sent. Mike Sharman sent me an email and said, can you do the forward?
Well, it got your attention, didn't it?
W-A-R-D, and I thought, I can't do that. Let me correct this dude while we can. And you actually put me at the top of the back of it.
That's it, yeah.
Here's what I said. I said, people all over the world often say that South Africa is a crucible for a special kind of entrepreneur. That's a pioneering, fearless, frontier quality to them that often propels them into the stratosphere internationally. Mike is one of those. Well, it must have been a good day.
Must have been. You weren't complaining about cycling at the time. It's a good thing I didn't launch this just before the cycle challenge.
Why the best dick and not the biggest dick? Because if this was Donald Trump's book, it would be called The Biggest Dick.
Totally. And I say a lot of times that there are a lot of dicks in business. There are a lot of dicks in digital. It's advertising in particular,
sure,
has been a very white male dominated dicky industry.
Yeah.
And I've never wanted to build the biggest agency. I've never wanted to build this massive empire, because I think that's all based on ego. What I do want to be is I want to be the best all the time. I want to make brands go viral. I want to tell the best stories. I want to produce remarkable content. That's what I want to do. I don't care about being the biggest, but you always have to be the best in regardless of any industry. I saw your friend Emma yesterday, and it's the same thing. She's the best dick of social media law, and in each industry there are best dicks. So whether you're male or female, it doesn't matter, but be the best dick of your industry, of your space.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I was also at a talk thing yesterday, and I saw Will I Am and Malcolm Gladwell, and those two in their own respective ways are the biggest and best dicks in their businesses. And to be the best is often for people a complicated thing to understand, because it doesn't necessarily involve winning all the time. It doesn't necessarily involve beating other people. Sometimes it's just being yourself and expressing yourself as honestly as possible.
Totally. And you know how lonely this industry is, or entrepreneurship is as a whole. It's a lonely journey that you walk. And sometimes you're going to lose friends and lose people along the way because your success or your efforts get interpreted as arrogance or as being overconfident. And that's where this whole best thing comes in. Like, when it comes down to being the best, you have to be obsessed about what you want to achieve. And that's where I've found, especially in some of the research I've done in this book, is that so many of the most successful business people in the world have an obsession over something. If you think about the Musks, the Jobs, they're not particularly the nicest people, but they are obsessed over the success of their industry or their passions.
Did you do a lot of research?
I did some, actually. It's not just opinion. A lot of the chapters are based on general entrepreneurship premises, like hiring your first employee, cash flow issues. But going into deeper into those things, such as cash flow, you know, 82% of businesses fail because of cash flow. So we know the problem, why a lot of things fail. So why aren't we fixing that? Why aren't we rectifying that problem? And the way to solve that is for entrepreneurs to understand money better, to speak spreadsheet, and to understand what it is that their business actually sells. I mean, for me as a creative person first, I've never been inclined towards numbers and sells and all those kinds of things.
ROI.
Exactly. But for me, it's important that you get into the nitty-gritty of all the granular details of your business in order for it to survive. Otherwise, it's going to fail because cash flow. So there's a whole bunch of research that underlines the humor and the comedy and the general premises within this book.
Let's look at a couple of descriptions of you by various publications, all right? Don't get nervous. First one is The Mail and Guardian, which named you one of the top 200 young South Africans in 2013. I really thought that it was unnecessary for them to take it to 200. 100 would have been fine. Who has the time to read a top 200? And you would have been in the top 100 anyway, right?
Thank you.
Yeah. So that was very nice of them. More recently, you were included in the Kelman 20 right here on cliffcentral.com.
Made the cusp of millennials. Sure. Right. Just on the cusp.
You just got in there, a list of 20 influential millennials to watch in 2017. And little did they know you'd be bringing out a book. Then 10and5.com reported you're an entrepreneurial force to be reckoned with when it comes to the world of online digital communications. That's nice.
Sure.
Very complimentary. Someone else described you as a man who likes to play naked and see campaigns go viral.
I think that was Bruce Whitfield.
Okay, very nice. You're often naked. The first time I think I ever met you, you walked into my studio in a Speedo.
Yeah, that was for a good cause, though. That was for a viral campaign.
Right.
Once again. And I won a trip to Vegas for that.
You did?
Mm.
Did you go naked in Vegas?
No, I wore the Speedo in Vegas.
All right. And then here are some other things that people have said. Tech Central described you as tall, stubble-faced, and boasting an incredible cleft in his chin.
Probably the most incredible review out of all of those.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
That's the best one. All right. But you've also had a really good year. I mean, you're a family man. And you just recently had your first little kid.
She's 7 months old now.
How's that going?
Pretty good. She's amazing. She's like basically like a human puppy. Wake up in the morning, smiles all over the face, walk in the door from work, smiles on the face. You feel like the most important human being in this human being's life. It is a game changer.
That's fantastic.
I took the most incredible picture of her being birthed, which was coming through the sunroof. It was black and white. I posted it on Instagram, and there was a lot of controversy around that.
Well, were you sure that was a good idea?
Well, it was beautiful. It was the story of life happening.
Yes, but your poor wife is lying there prone. And you're busy taking pictures.
I wasn't taking the pictures. No, the midwife. It's part of the experience. You have the one-on-one, intimate time, and then there's this lady snapping things while the action's happening for you to relive it after the fact.
Listen, I saw that picture. I don't know that you want to be sharing a moment like that with everybody. It's none of their business.
It's beautiful.
You don't mind sharing everything?
No, I think there's certain things that, you know,
are. Where do you draw the line?
I don't know.
You haven't?
I think it's a case by case.
So you haven't had a situation before where you really sat and ummed and ahed about whether or not you should post something?
I think, especially when it comes to Twitter, some more about text when you're trying to make light of situations, because we've seen how volatile online is in South Africa.
Yeah.
Anything you say can be misconstrued, especially if it's taken out of context.
Now, when you're working with brands, isn't that also a complicated thing to navigate?
That's one of the most complicated,
actually.
Because
they're all nervous. They're so nervous to do something wrong, they're not prepared to try something right.
That's it. And there's stuff that has to make you feel a little bit sick in your tummy if it's going to actually make an impact. I mean, there's a project
you're
working
on. There's a bit of risk involved, is what you're saying.
There's always going to be risk. And if you see from even like the most established brands recently have got into a lot of trouble.
You can walk the middle line and no one will ever notice you're there.
Yeah, you can just be kind of exactly middle. I mean, people, you want people to love you or hate you. You don't
it's like
want
a bland,
to be,
you go to a restaurant, you have the most bland meal, tasted like any meal you could have made in a microwave at home.
And that's most brands out there.
Right.
And most brands in similar industries, in finance or in banking, they're all saying the same things. In alcohol too, you could strip the logo off the Idris Elba commercial, the Jamie Foxx commercial.
And it could be a spiced food commercial, it could be a cold drink, or it could be an insurance business.
Totally.
That's a very good point. So you're saying that if you want to check whether or not a brand is boring and middle of the road and trying not to offend anybody, trying to be everything to everyone, just take the logo off and see if you put another logo there whether it would still work.
Yeah, and in most instances, people remember the story, but they don't remember who it was about. Mm. And that's the problem, and that's the art in getting the link between brand and emotion. And that's where brands like Johnny Walker are so strong and powerful, where they take you on this journey of keep on walking, you know, and you have the ability to see. I mean, it's not one of my brands I work on, so it's not a plug, but I think the important thing is, like, you know that this is an evolution based on what their essence is. Mm. And that's when really powerful storytelling and brands mix together. But it's a difficult art to get right because so many people are trying to be safe.
And you're not safe because a lot of the stuff that you guys do is edgy. Are you always relieved when you get a client who says, I don't mind if we get into trouble?
I think it's about creating the relationship with them because they don't initially start out to be controversial or to make a push. I think you have to build that relationship and understand the essence of the brand and the person that you're working with. And then there has to be a degree of discomfort that is going to make you feel like, oh, I don't know if we're going to achieve success with this. I don't know how this is going to go. And there's something we're working on for next week that's going to be launching on the corner of Santon Drive and William Nicol from next week, Wednesday morning. And that makes me feel like I want to vomit every morning. And I think that's the important thing. If you don't get the feels, you're just putting out bland steak.
Oh, you got people interested in what's going on the road.
Hmm.
All right. What clients have you had and what kind of campaigns have you done? And you outlined some of them in the book too, that have made you very, very nervous, that you felt that sickness in the pit of your stomach. And yet they worked out. They turned out to be terrific. They broke through the noise. Everybody was talking about them.
So obviously the relevant one is The Last Dictator with Mugabe from 2011 because it's being reshared again online. And we actually took three Mugabe lookalikes and the Mugabe from the commercial, and we delivered these, like, Mugabe in his regalia with specific messaging to top 50 influencers around SA with a special message. There was a microsite they could go to, and then for people to start tagging their friends and celebrities that they'd love to meet in this campaign. And that's one of the ones that went properly globally viral. It went 2 million views in like 6 days organically without any media spend, all the newspapers and online coverage across the world. A few years later, we worked with Dow Egberts on a yawn activated coffee vending machine that Joe Public built for them.
Oh, that's clever. Tamba. So you would walk past it and if you yawned, it would make you coffee.
Yeah, it used the like facial recognition technology from Xbox, and then it poured coffees, and then getting that out then, because coffee is a universal premise.
Wait, yeah, sure.
I mean, it was coverage in like everything from French blogs to Asian blogs to Arabic blogs. It
nice.
Went properly globally viral. And then most recently, the election burger with Rockamamas. That was the one where, you know, would people misinterpret it as being right wing or too left wing with the Hillbill and the Donald? And then clients said, we always have three burgers as a limited edition. Let's have that outlier and that third burger that represents the brand. And that's where the Joker came from. And that was a discussion that was very closely linked with Brian, who you've met before.
Yeah, we had him on here.
Yeah, and that sort of relationship is difficult to create in this economy because clients are scared because they've got their targets and they've got their ROI, as you said.
Yeah.
And in the book, we talk about ROA is greater than ROI. And
what is ROA?
Return on awesome.
Oh, nice.
And the thing is, if you can get that creative idea down, the results will take care of themselves. But it's important to develop that creative idea that can link back into the business that's going to ultimately get more bums on seats.
Do you feel a lot of pressure to keep coming up with new and amazing stuff all the time?
There's a lot of pressure because, you know, creativity doesn't keep a 9-to-5. So the ideas come into your space at the most weird opportunities, sometimes in the shower, sometimes when you're asleep. So it's really important that you're almost keeping your eyes open to observations in the world and being relevant and being aware of what's happening around you, because that's where a lot of the premises come from. And that's one of the main things in the book. It's about being a stand-up startup. So stand-up comedians who are the best at what they do, they're great observers. that's where a lot of your humor on your show comes from. It's from observations of things that are happening in the real world and how you interpret that. And if you're observing reality, an audience can relate to that and they can understand that. And once you start tapping into those insights of actual happenings, that's when you can start developing the most relevant brand stuff and communication to an audience.
Is it true that you traced around the outside of your cock for Ben in his signed copy?
Well, that's what I asked for.
You asked for that?
Well, if you go into, is it thebestdick.co.za? .com.
Yeah.
You can get a copy of the book, and then it's the, you know, you pay for shipping, and it gets comes to you in a couple of days. And yeah, I mean, I'm special, Gareth, so I asked for something special.
I don't know what's
I asked for an outline of the best dick, and there it is.
I asked him if he'd like it in angry form or gentle, relaxed, post-shower form.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So my best dick book arrived today, and it's got an outline of Mike's dick.
I don't know what's more disturbing, the mere fact that you asked for it, or the mere fact that he did it.
Listen, Ben and I spent a lot of time together in a hotel room in New Zealand. Okay. It was a special moment, 2015.
Yeah,
It
was 2011? A long time ago, Jeez, Mike. It was 2011, and the hotel room was about the size of those pants that you wore yesterday.
Really? So that's not very...
It was very small.
You get to know each other pretty well there.
Yeah. We spent a lot of time together intimately.
So basically, I've got the most valuable best dick book in the whole world because it's actually got Mike's outline.
Oh.
Take that, eBay.
Suck it.
It's like Bitcoin of books, this thing. It's going to soar.
Yeah, what do you think? Are you into cryptocurrencies?
I have one Bitcoin.
You have a Bitcoin?
I have a single Bitcoin.
That's fantastic.
Wow. I purchased one couple years
fortune,
back.
That's a fortune,
dude. Jeez, it's a good return currently.
What did you pay for it then?
6K.
Jesus, it's like 100,000 Rand now.
Should write a book just on that. I have a Bitcoin. A smug revelation from Mike Sharman.
What do you have, loser? I have a Bitcoin. Did you hear about this painting they sold yesterday for $450 million?
I saw it on your Instagram account.
We were talking about it just now. Can you imagine being someone? $450 million is what a wildly successful person would love to make in their entire life, right? Yep. A wildly successful person. Someone with a breakout idea that's just never been done before. I think if you took everything... Okay, Adrian Gore might have made more than that. But if you took most South African multimillionaires, they wouldn't have $450 million for a painting.
Shucks.
One painting.
That is a big dick purchase.
Yassus. Hey, isn't it?
Massive. That's massive kahunas if you're dropping $450 million.
Who do you look up to? Who are your inspiration? Who are the people who you think are worth paying attention to?
You know what? I love the Elon Musk story. I think it is incredible.
You know he's a whack job.
Yeah, right? Totally.
You know he's insane.
Well, that's weird. All these... I mean, Steve Jobs is the biggest douchebag. Like, if you read,
he really was.
Biography. Like, he was an awful human being. Hated his own child.
He denied
knowing
her. He was a horrible person to live with, to work with. Yeah.
All these guys, they, from what you read about them, they sound like the biggest dicks. And I think that you have to have something wrong with you if you're going to be that successful where you want to colonize Mars. I mean, there's got to be something wrong with you.
There's something wrong with you.
And then you find humor in the fact that you've purchased a business called The Boring Company and you're going to drill below the surface. And then you want to make letters for your vehicles that spell out SEX. But then he couldn't get the Model E, so he had to call it the Model 3. I mean, that's effectively... that's he had the S, the
he's
X.
He's insane.
He's certifiably insane.
And didn't he steal away that Amber Heard, who broke up so publicly with Johnny Depp?
Yes.
She kind of went away from an abusive relationship, Gareth.
Whatever.
Johnny and kind of smacked her into another relationship.
Is that what she says?
Well, I mean...
He denies it, of course. Anyway, Elon Musk... Are they still together? Does anyone know?
I don't think
I
so.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I do love
like the buzz is gone.
I love The Boring Company. I would invest in, if I could invest in one of his businesses, it would be The Boring Company. To me, if you can have humor, you have everything. And to me, the only people in the world who aren't worth spending time with are humorless people. You have a good sense of humor. You must like to laugh a lot. You must work with a lot of
I hate to laugh.
Wild, wacky people.
Laughing's the worst.
No. I'm saying you work with a bunch of fun people, right?
Lunatics.
Yeah.
This is the industry of advertising. Fortunately, I mean, we do hugs, not drugs, in our agency. But you know, there's absolutely
most
lunatics.
Of them the other way around.
Yeah, exactly. And the clients as well. Some of them are cooked, and that's where you work with the best business people. Have something wrong with themselves. They're a little bit not right upstairs.
Right, I like
that. And those are the kinds of things that I've learned the best over my journey from all these interesting characters, from CEOs to HR managers. Like, there's such incredible people out there, and everyone has a story. Everyone is the hero of their own journey. And I think that's the most important. We're all living our first-person POV of our hero's journey.
Did you enjoy writing the book?
There were times when I absolutely hated it. There were times when I wanted to throw my MacBook out of a window, drive over it in the car park. Because I think, I mean, you've written several books. You're a best-selling author several times over. Basically like a platinum bookseller.
Oh, shit. Not a lot of crap.
And, you know, I think you go through these moments where you're in a groove and it's going nicely, and then days when you just absolutely want to pull out a shotgun and blow your brains out.
Yeah, that was about the last 6 months of my book. My last one.
That is a delightful process.
Yeah, writing that last book was as much fun for me as going to the dentist. For 6 months. Being in the dentist chair for 6 months.
Kind of ironic because you were in the dentist chair while you were writing that last book.
Yeah. The best dick is a catalyst to encourage your emancipation from the payroll hamster wheel. Tell me about that. Are you saying that you could give advice to people in this book? This is a big
big statement. Right?
I'm going to help you to free yourself from that horrible payroll hamster wheel.
It's something that I do quite often, actually. Like, there's a mixture of people that I mentor and people that will sometimes call me and ask me for advice, or we'll go for a coffee, or people that I've worked with in other agencies. And they're some of the most talented people out there, but they're gripped by fear of leaving. And it's one of those things, don't let the fears of financial failure stop you from achieving what you want to do. Because people are worried about rent, and they're worried about payments and bonds and all these kinds of things, a medical aid. And I think when you realize, I saw a guy last night actually, he was a supplier of ours, and then he's been saying for about a year, I'm going to leave, I'm going to start my own thing. He left and he started his own thing, and he hasn't looked back. He never realized how smooth it was actually going to be, because that word of mouth network is so important. So we used him for some work on SEO, which he's a genius at. And then I referenced or recommended him to someone else. And then those people recommended him to someone else. And in South Africa, that network effect and that network law is so much smaller than the rest of the world. I mean, we are all connected by 1 or 2 degrees of separation maximum. Yeah. And there's nothing stronger.
Yeah, you can reach anyone in South Africa. There's nothing, you really can.
Yeah, and there's nothing more powerful than that peer-to-peer recommendation. And I mean, that for me is the most important thing. So there's people that are hungry and they're talented and they've got the hustle. Like, I want them to jump out of the business that they're working in to show that they can do their own thing. And most people realize, or they don't realize, that it takes the average SME 1,000 days just to break even. And based on the research looking at this book in particular, in high growth industries, success only comes to people in their late 40s or early 50s. So it's the curse of this millennial generation, which I said I'm just on the cusp of, that everyone wants success within seconds and minutes. But we have to go through the hustle of 5 to 10 years to become an overnight success.
Well, listen, Sharman, it's out. You can go and buy the book. It's called The Best Dick. And best of luck to you, man. It's always good to see you. And I'm glad you could come in and see us this morning. And happy Friday.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for writing the foreword.
Oh, sure. Least I could do. You spell that FOREWORD.
Got it.
Okay. Thank you for enlightening us.
I mean, how embarrassing. You're writing a book. Oh, can't fucking spell
author forward. Who can't spell? What?
All right, man. Lovely to see you, dude. CliffCentral.com.